DW Africa Link. Beware of fake drugs. Across Africa, millions of people are being affected, and it's a growing problem. In Nigeria, for example, the issue of counterfeit drugs is a significant public health concern, with far-reaching impacts on the population. These fake drugs can contain harmful substances, leading to adverse reactions, treatment failures, and even death. For instance, in 2008, more than 80 children in Nigeria died from taking contaminated teething syrup. This incident highlighted the critical need for stringent quality control in pharmaceutical manufacturing to prevent such tragedies. Now, recent operations by Nigeria's National Agency for Food and Drug Administration and Control, that is NAFDAC, have resulted in significant seizures of counterfeit drugs and improperly stored medical products. And there are calls for severe penalties, including life imprisonment and a death penalty for those involved. But will that be enough? And what more needs to be done? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
So let's talk about Nigeria's fake drug problem. More recent studies indicate that around 16% to 50% of drugs are counterfeit or substandard. So the prevalence remains significantly high. Now, I have two people here to discuss this with. Fidelis Inkom is a pharmacist and former deputy director with Nigeria's National Agency for Food and Drugs Administration and Control, NAFDAC. I also have Ben Adam Shimang, DW's correspondent in Abuja, Nigeria. Welcome to Africa Link. Fidelis, I am dying to really find out, Fidelis, how serious the issue of counterfeit medicines and drugs is in Nigeria. Give me a sense of how widespread and serious the situation is.
Thank you for this opportunity. The issue of fake drugs in our society today is actually a very serious one, considering the quantum or the huge volume of the drugs that are involved and the attendant implications on health. You know, they could damage vital organs, or they can even lead to death because of their use. So over the years, the fakers had continued with the nefarious businesses, despite the effort of NAFDAC. I remember in 2007, I was there in Onitsha. I went to the Onitsha Head Bridge market, was raided. There were huge volumes of these fake drugs that were gotten. But up to now, the lessons that ought to have been learned is not there.
So you're describing a situation that is very serious.
Yes.
So what do the numbers say? I mean, how many people are really engaged in this, and how really is it affecting people?
It's a huge number of that is involved, and it affects virtually all the population because drugs are used by virtually everybody. And therefore, if care is not taken, you fall into the hands of using these drugs, and the health implications are there. They will affect you. So it is a huge problem, if I may say this. So that's just the scenario that I can paint. And I have said that over the years, the effort of NAFDAC in checking these nefarious activities has not really yielded the desirable result. And the reason is simple. Those that are doing it, they gain a lot of money. It is for huge financial benefit, and at the expense of health, at the expense of human lives. And therefore, it is very difficult, very, very difficult to control these people, because all they want is money.
You talk about these people being driven by money. Who are these people we are talking about?
They are businessmen. Businessmen who do not really have knowledge of drugs, but perhaps they got into it at the early age in their lives, and they realize that it is a profitable venture, and by indulging in fake drugs, they make a lot of money.
How does it work? You know, I'm asking all this because people are listening and wondering, okay, we know this is a thing. You have been on this matter for a very long time. You're also a pharmacist.
Yes.
How do these syndicates work? You know, from where to where to the distribution stage of the counterfeit medicines and drugs? How does it all work?
No, it is very complex, because as you have rightly said from the onset, it is an international syndicate. With improved technology, the fakers have also been very smart. They are all over globally. And when they fake the drugs, they try to get to porous borders, you know, not passing it through the approved entry point. They are really smuggled into the country and they get into the hands of the businessmen who collect these drugs into their stores, you know, at odd hours, and they sell them to the unsuspecting members of the public who consume them and with the attendant health challenges thereafter. So that is how the thing is. It is it's a global issue. That is how it is.
Okay. Oh, and
yes.
And what kind of drugs are we talking about, or medicines are we talking about? What is the most common that, you know, people are getting affected by?
These fakers try to look at disease conditions prevailing and the drugs that are used for such conditions. So they focus mostly on fast-moving drugs that are used for the treatment of malaria. They also focus on antibiotics. Antibiotics are used for the treatment of various infections. And, you know, in our society, infections are very common. So they take advantage of this. And then another one is IT hypertensive. You know, most of us Africans are prone to hypertension and diabetic mellitus. So these are the range of drugs that they focus on.
Okay. I'll come back to you in a bit. Let me come to you, Ben. I mean, it's serious what we are talking about, Ben, no doubt. We're talking about over 14 million people in Nigeria are said to be abusing drugs. I mean, and it seems it's quite easy to get these drugs, isn't it?
Yes, it is easy to get these drugs because they are sold across the counter. Not just the imported ones that have been faked. Those that are original have been faked locally and they are sold across the counter. Sometimes they don't even get to the counter. It's very common, very easy to find hawkers holding and selling these medicine or medications here and there. And there are also those that are made locally. Sometimes even in people's bedrooms, you find them making them. Apart from that, you also find that those that have expired have been relabeled and sent back to the market. And that's why NAFDAC at the point would stomp on some of these areas and do a lot of catching or arrests. And of course, they are destroyed publicly with the hope that it's going to serve some lessons. And it's also very common in such a way that there are some things that are actually, the prices are that low, and the way in which they are being packaged is encouraging and enticing to the youths. You also find even some local things they call things like Goskolo, or sometimes they say Makosa or Blackwood. These are things they just take, they are in a sachet, they just cut them and begin to take.
You just mentioned some drugs for people that are listening. What are they, and are you saying these are some of the ones that are there's the fake versions of, or what?
Yeah, some are actually fake versions. Some, they just take it to say that it can give you courage, it can give you some strength. You know, some people do some manual work, take Tramadol, it can give you some strength. And sometimes some people just go haywire. You don't just know what you're doing. And why they do all of that is amazing. And why it's so commonly found is also amazing.
It's interesting what you're saying because, you know, it's two different things we're talking about here. On the one hand, there are the original drugs that we know, whether it's paracetamol or what malaria pills or whatever, that people are making fake versions of, on the one hand, right? And then on the other hand, people also come up with some drugs that they say does some things, give it their own names, but haven't really gone through the legal procedure or process to verify that this drug is good to take. These are two different things. And that's what you say is happening, right?
Yes. And Eddie, it's also common. NAFDAC at the point was telling us that some people just got this white chalk or some other chalk, color them and paint them to sound like or appear like some tablets, Panadol or malaria medicine. You'll be taking all of that, you never get cured. Rather, those things will just go and become some sediments within your digestive system, begin to cause cancer, begin to cause all sorts of ailments rather than healing the person. In terms of faking, yes, they would just look so real. Even they fake the labels of NAFDAC because every medicine that comes that is legal must have a NAFDAC approved number. So all of this, you just see them faking them. One could just have one single serial number, all the packages and all that stuff. So it's a common thing. And those who are engaged in it, they're actually making a whole lot of money, and that's why the trade is refusing to end.
How big a business is it, Ben, when you talk about people making a lot of money? I'm asking because you've really been digging into this. How much money is a lot of money that people are chasing so much that they don't care about the lives of people?
Yeah, you see, it's a big business, huge to the extent that I tell you, there's no community that you won't find something that is fake in terms of medication. It is such a huge business, huge as in huge. And I do remember there used to be a former director general of the of NAFDAC, Dorothy Okunyele, a professor, a pharmacist. We followed her to do some seizures of these fake medications, fake medicine. And you could see they were loaded. When I say loaded, they were loaded in some trailers, and a very huge mountainous kind of, let me put it that way, without being or almost being hyperbolical. You see very huge heaps, and they spray petrol and just set those things ablaze. So that tells you how big, how large this business is, and it spreads across. There's no tribe. It doesn't have respect for religion. It doesn't have respect for any tribe. It is just a thing that cuts across.
Right. I mean, we do understand that just in some Nigeria states, the figures suggest that this type of business, I remember just to cross-check quickly, for instance, in a state like Oyo State in Nigeria, and indeed some other states, they've destroyed fake and harmful drugs that are worth about 100 billion naira. Now, a quick look at what that converts to in US dollars is more than 65 million US dollars worth of fake drugs that have been destroyed at some point in Nigeria. That's just mind-blowing. And I'm going to come to you, sir, Mr. Nkom, because you have been with NAFDAC. Your role was basically to prevent this from happening and to make sure that anyone selling medicine or drugs of any kind have passed through the right process. And you said there have been shortcomings, but how much responsibility really do you take for allowing this to go on for so long?
The agency has various regulations concerning the importation, the use, and the manufacture of drugs locally. Now, if those regulations are strictly followed, the drugs that are manufactured or sold or used in our public institutions, they will be okay. They will be safe. But it's just that fakers actually defy other means of bringing the drugs into the country. And those ones will not be registered, of course. And where they come from, sometimes the country of origin is not known because it will not be stated on the labels. So that is has been the scenario. The ideal thing is for any importer to import the drugs to the country must follow the regulations and get NAFDAC approval. If it is manufactured inside in the country, there must be procedure that will be followed and NAFDAC approval must be gotten. So if these things are in place under normal circumstances, the drugs that are being used should be okay.
Yeah, but people are, as you say, people are finding a way to beat the system. And if you know some of the ways they beat the system, I mean, you're not with NAFDAC anymore. I'm just asking in your former capacity, yes. You know, as, yes. You know, as you know, was deputy director of NAFDAC, you were.
Yes,
in that role for a while. Isn't it to say, is it that NAFDAC hasn't got the capacity to really sort of spread itself across frequently to make sure that this business is prevented from expanding and then, you know, to try to save lives? Because somehow you've just watched it grow and grow and grow into a huge business. Is there something else you could have done differently to prevent this from getting this big?
Yes, NAFDAC over the years has worked assiduously to see that the right thing, the ideal thing is done. Unfortunately, there are loopholes in the system that has to do perhaps with corruption, multiple agencies, instead of collaborating so that the right thing is done. A few may not be cooperating, and bad eggs in the system can't encourage corruption, and at the end, we get some of these things coming into the country or manufacturing into the country that are not good. So that has been the system. From what I do know is that the agency has worked very hard in spite of some challenges like shortage of staff. I remember sometimes we woke up to 11 o'clock in the night at odd hours at the risk of our health. And it is just that some challenges along in the system has not been favorable for us to produce or bring in drugs that are of the right quality.
Right, clearly. I mean, yes. a lot of challenges in NAFDAC that has...
Insecurity is there. NAFDAC staff have been actually attacked in the past. You know, they have been threatened. I was threatened myself.
By who?
Several. By fakers or those who are doing the wrong things. When you correct them and you cut away the bad things that they are selling and they are destroyed, of course, they will not be happy. They will threaten your life.
So you're saying that those that engage in this fake drug business, which is a huge business and a lot of money is being made, are actually threatening some members of NAFDAC, which is Nigeria's National Agency for Food and Drugs Administration and Control.
Yes.
Some members of this administration are being attacked and threatened so that fakers can keep doing their business. Like, so what is NAFDAC doing about this? I mean, that's not how NAFDAC should be operating, right?
In the past, we got approval from the IG, the Inspector General of Police, for policemen to accompany us, to help us when we are raiding. But I think this support has not been very satisfactory in the recent past. And there is need for collaboration with this institution, the Nigerian police, for them to give enough of their personnel to help NAFDAC in raiding. I remember during our time, during the police time, we had enough policemen anywhere you went to carry out raids. You report yourself to a police station that you are here to carry out surveillances and operations, and they are informing them. Should there be need, you run back to them. They give you enough policemen as a backup. But these days, truly, it is difficult to get that. Part of the reason is because of the insecurity in the country, the police personnel are not enough. So we still appeal that enough security men should be attached to NAFDAC offices and NAFDAC officers so that they can do their work effectively.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nkom. Ben, I mean, you've heard all of this. Trying to think about solutions and ways around, and Mr. Nkom has set the ball rolling there. But Ben, what are the current measures being taken to, you know, curtail the counterfeit medicine and drug menace in Nigeria? And what more needs to be done?
Yes, the law establishing NAFDAC and the consequences of breaching those laws will have to be very, very strong. And we also need to have officers that are committed. They are not prone to corruption. I cite this example. This same Dorothy Akinyele we're talking about, at the point she was fired at in her own car, the bullet passed through the windscreen of the car and removed her headscarf and passed through the other side of the mirror. Incidentally, the culprits were caught and taken to court. I'm talking of Marcellinus Unakwe. They were tried and they were jailed. But before the jail could come, you could see that in terms of how much they were to pay, it was just peanuts for someone to put in his pocket, put hand in the pocket and just bring out the money of the fine. So the punishment has to be very, very strong, long-term kind of jailing. And that is why the present DG, Professor Mojisola Adeyeye, is even saying that, look, there has to be some life sentences, jail them for life. Apart from that, you see, these people will need some protection, real protection.
Right. Well noted. Thank you very much, Ben. And, you know, the reason we're talking about this is not just the health impact, which is obviously the biggest, but the current Director General of NAFDAC is proposing the death penalty for culprits. What do you make of that, Mr. Inkom?
Yes, I actually agree with her. Because ultimately, the fakers are destroying lives of Nigerians. And they are not deterred. All they want is to make money at the expense of human life. So somebody who does not care about human life, if he is caught, he also should face the wrath of the law. I support her entirely. And the death penalty is a welcome idea.
Okay. Just as we're wrapping up, Mr. Inkom, just as some education for most of us that go to pharmacies and hospitals, wherever, to get drugs for whatever ailment that we're going through, how can one identify a fake drug?
It is not very easy for somebody to identify a drug that is fake, more so with the advanced technology of packaging. So a fake drug can only be identified scientifically through a laboratory testing. But beyond that, there are some hints that we should be able to know to suspect that a drug is a fake one. For example, if it has deceptive labeling, including absence of manufacturer address, location address, not specifying the batch number, manufacturing date, and expiry date, and so on. So if these things are lacking on a product that you have entered to buy, or either in a hospital or in a pharmacy shop, you should be able to suspect. And if NAFDAC number is not there, you should be able to suspect that product. But these are just the outward characteristics. But it is only through laboratory testing that you can now actually say whether a drug is a fake one or a genuine one.
Very well noted. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. Fidelis Inkom is a pharmacist and former deputy director with Nigeria's National Agency for Food and Drugs Administration and Control, NAFDAC. Also, Ben Adam Shimang is TW's correspondent in Abuja, Nigeria. Thank you very much for your time. In the early 2000s, Nigeria faced a severe counterfeit drug epidemic, with estimates suggesting that up to 70% of drugs were fake. By 2006, this figure had decreased to about 16% due to efforts by the National Agency for Food and Drug Administration and Control, NAFDAC. Now, while progress has been made, the issue remains a significant challenge due to regulatory gaps, economic factors, and public awareness issues. So much more needs to be done, including strengthening regulations, public education, and increasing technological solutions. What do you think? Please share your thoughts with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. And don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW, made for minds.